Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In Hebrew, the name Isaiah is the word Yeshayahu, a word which means the salvation of the Lord, salvation which belongs to Him. And Isaiah chapter 53 is the story of our salvation. It is the story of our salvation in Christ. And today, as we begin to look at this chapter, we will find that we have been given a clear picture of the salvation that has been given to us through the Messiah, through the Lord Jesus Christ. A picture that is so clear that amazingly many people refuse to even read this chapter, since the only conclusion that can be drawn from this chapter is that on the cross, Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Therefore, He must be the Messiah. He must be the Savior of the world. And this evidence demands a decision from us, from each of us. And in this chapter, we have also been given a wealth of information concerning the details of the day that Jesus died for us. An account that was written about 650 years before that event ever took place. And in this chapter, the veil has been pulled back and we get a glimpse of the profound sorrow and of the extreme suffering that our Lord endured for us. It is a hymn of sorrow. It's a hymn of suffering. It is a picture of His pain, a picture of His tears. But it's also a hymn of blessing as our Lord triumphs over sin and over the grave and over Satan. So to read this chapter is, in a sense, to walk on holy ground. A chapter that should be written in our minds and written in our hearts and never forgotten. So, verse 1 of this chapter begins with a question. Well, it begins really with two questions. Where it says, many have heard the message of salvation through the Messiah. A message that was given to us. Many saw Him perform countless miracles. And so no one could deny that there was never a man like Him on this earth before. But still, who has believed our message? Who has put their trust in Him as their Savior? And the answer to that question today is the same as it was back then. Very few from among the nation of Israel. Very few from among the Gentiles recognize that Jesus truly is God, the Savior of the world. And that through Him, the arm, Zeruah in Hebrew, the divine power of the Lord has been revealed to us through Him. The power to save our soul. And over the years, many people have failed to recognize who Jesus really is and why we need him as our Savior. And in addition to that, for many people, he does not meet their expectation of what the Messiah should be like. Because, we are told in verse 2, he grew up in a small, insignificant village in the middle of nowhere. And he grew up the way that many of the poor grew up at that time. He was just the son of a carpenter, the son of a blue-collar worker, and he worked in the family business. He was not royalty. He was not wealthy. He was not a person of notoriety. He had no pedigree. He had no credentials. He had no extensive education. So he grew up before God, it says, like a tender shoot, yoek in Hebrew, like a small, insignificant branch. He grew up like a root out of parched ground, siach, as one who had no value to anyone. He could have shriveled up and died, and no one, except perhaps for his family, would have known the difference. He had no stately form, it says. There was nothing about his appearance that would lead us to believe that he was a king. He had no majesty, hadar in Hebrew, and no honor, no splendor, no beauty, that we should look upon him as anything special, that we should look upon him in awe. Nor was his appearance very impressive or unique that we should be attracted to him, hamad in Hebrew, that we should be drawn to him. And though he preached his message with power and with wisdom, though he performed countless miracles before thousands of people, even healing the sick, raising the dead, still, it says in verse 3, he was despised, bazah in Hebrew. He was looked down upon by almost everyone. And even the leaders in the nation of Israel rejected him. Those who knew the scriptures, those who knew Isaiah chapter 53, even they did not recognize him as their Messiah. And so in the end, we are told he was forsaken by everyone. Hadav in Hebrew. He was alone. No one stood with him. And even his followers, even his closest disciples abandoned him. He was dismissed by men as unimportant, just another man who had been condemned to die. He was a man of sorrows, it says in verse 3. Makov, a man of pain and of suffering, of physical pain, of emotional pain, a pain in his heart, pain in his soul. And in all four accounts of his life here on this earth, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we do not even have one example where we are told that he left. He was, it says, a man who was acquainted with grief. Holi in Hebrew. He understood what it meant to be brokenhearted and to be rejected by those that he loved, by those that he had come to save. even as he was being beaten and mocked, and his beard was being ripped from his face, even then, everyone laughed at him. As we are told in Isaiah 52, verse 14, his appearance was disfigured more than any other man on this earth, so that he became almost unrecognizable as a man. And so it says in verse 3, he was like one from whom men hid their face. We could not even stand to look at him. He was despised. He was rejected. We did not esteem him. Hasev in Hebrew. Even in his suffering, we saw no value in him. The way that many people today do not see any value in his suffering for us. But God the Father has a different view of him. And so we are told in verse 4, surely, Achen in Hebrew, truly, certainly, all of this time, we were wrong. Now God has shown the truth to us. Our griefs, holi in Hebrew, our afflictions, our spiritual sickness, he himself bore in his body, nasa in Hebrew. He has lifted the weight of our sin off of us, and he has placed that weight upon himself. Truly, our sorrows, machol in Hebrew, the pain and the suffering, the consequences of our sin, he has carried, a weight that was too heavy for us to bear. As we are told in 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. So it says in verse 4, we had it all wrong. We ourselves esteemed him, Hasheb, we considered him as stricken, as violently being punished and smitten, naka, struck down by God himself, and afflicted, humiliated by him for his own sin. But the fact is, it says in verse 5, he was pierced through on the cross in his side, In his hands and in his feet. Why? It says, for our transgressions. Peshet in Hebrew. For our acts of rebellion against God. For our disobedience against him. For all that we have done to disgrace his name. And for some of us, that certainly includes many things. He was crushed into pieces, it says, for our iniquities, avon, for our twisted behavior. So the chastening, musar, the punishment that we deserved for our well-being, in order to provide peace with God, fell upon him. It fell upon Jesus alone. And so by his scourging, it says, Heburah, by his wounds, by the slashing that tore him to pieces, by that we are healed, says Rapha. We are purified. The death of the physician has cured the hopelessly ill patient. our condition was hopeless. It says that in verse 6, doesn't it? We were helpless. All of us, it says, all of us by nature, by who we were, by who we are, we're like disobedient sheep. Like sheep. We all have gone astray. Ta, in Hebrew. We have wandered away from God. We've wandered away from the truth. We've all gone in the wrong direction. So we stagger through life. And we fall, never to rise again on our own. Yet each of us has turned to his own way. We've turned away from God, who is the shepherd of our soul. We were all hopelessly lost in our sin. But, it says in verse 6, the Lord has caused the iniquity, the guilt, the punishment, for all of our sin to fall upon him, to fall upon Christ. As we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Oh, there is our hope. It's our only hope. He bore the sorrow. He bore the shame. He bore the disgrace. He bore the pain. He bore the judgment of God in our place. The Prince of Life suffered the death that we deserved. It all fell on him. So now it is time. It is time to come to him for the salvation of our soul, because for some of us, there may be no tomorrow. Salvation is for today. Salvation belongs to him, and that salvation can be ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.